Bible, friends, is Word of God. And without God's Word, it's not possible for a person to come to a knowledge, a saving knowledge of God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Because the Bible is the record, the only record that God has given to us, the testimony concerning His Son, Jesus Christ, what He did, why He came, and of course, who He did it for a world of ruined sinners. And of course, that includes you and I. That's all of us, every man, woman, and child born into this world. So, you see, the Word of God is relevant to you, more relevant, I declare to you, than even today's newspaper, latest news bulletin, because, death is inevitable, judgment inescapable, and that's because we're all sinners, and we need to be saved, you know, from that inevitability and that inescapability. The Bible says it's appointed for men to die once, but after this then comes the judgment. People, you know, live with this fearful delusion, you know, that when you're dead, you're dead, that's it, end of story. You know, we don't know what happens afterwards. No one ever came back to tell us, but yes, they did. Jesus Christ did, and He tells us plainly, clearly, in His Word, in the Bible, that after this, after death, that is, comes the judgment. So there's something to be saved from, our fallen thinking, our wrong-mindedness. Mind, the heart needs to be changed. And of course, it's only then that the practice that is contrary to God, contrary to His character and will be changed also. But only the gospel, only God's gospel, only the Word of God, that which has been revealed to us, given to us. Word of God, able to make a body, a person wise for salvation. Now, not so much clever, but wise, the wisdom of God that leads to salvation. So, you'd like to have a copy of God's Word? Read for yourself, it's offered to you free of charge and without any cost and any obligation to you. Yours to take and do with as you will. But it's faith, you see, friends, the Bible makes clear, it's faith that's required. Bible, God says, you know, that no person will ever be justified, made right, that is, as a result of what they do. There's nothing that you can do and nothing that any other man can do for you that would ever make you right with God. God, in His Word, makes it clear it's through faith and faith alone that a person is reconciled to God. And that, of course, faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ. Bible says, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ, and not by works of the law, because by the works of the law no one will be justified. Only through the gospel, only through what Christ has done, accomplished, His death, His resurrection, His dying for the ungodly, can a person be made right with God. But of course, what is it that the gospel demands? When the Bible talks about repentance, what does it mean? What does repentance mean? Well, again, the Word of God puts it more clearly, more distinctly, and more powerfully than I can. Here is what the Word of God says. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. It's called repentance. There is a need, says God, for repentance. You see, the faith of which the Bible speaks, that saves a person, justifies them before God, reconciles them to God. That faith is a certain, a definite knowledge, and an assured confidence in all that God has revealed in His Holy Gospel. And the first requirement that God reveals in His Holy Gospel is the need for repentance. You see, the Bible, the Gospel is plain, pressing, because we've all sinned, we're all going to die, it's urgent, it's vital, and of course, it's very practical. This turning, this conversion, you see, it's a divine requirement. First recorded words of Jesus in the New Testament are these: repent and believe the Gospel. A command, you see. Why? Because the kingdom of God is at hand. But God, you see, has made provision for all mankind. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. That is in the way of repentance, in the way of faith towards the Son of God, Jesus Christ. The Savior declares, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. God encourages you to seek after him, that you may find him. He declares in his word also that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek after him. Ask, says Jesus, and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened up to you. Elsewhere, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior of sinners, he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the rest shall be added to you. So you see, this turning and this returning to God is imperative. It's a must. It's an absolute necessity in order for a person to be right with God, to be saved, as it were. It's a necessity because of the nature of God. God is a holy God. He's described, you know, in the Bible as the thrice holy God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. God is holy in His character, His law that we have all of us broken. Every single man, woman, and child born into this world, sinners by nature and sinners by practice, lawbreakers. That's what sin is, friends. It's transgression of the law of God. Go, sir. Oh, okay. It says transgression of God's law, you see. And the law is a reflection of God's character, of His being. It tells you what God is. You read those Ten Commandments and come back and tell me. Just take a perusal, a glance over them, and come back and tell me that you've kept every one of those commandments all of your days. I mean, the first commandment is that you should love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. If you haven't done that all of your days, since the very beginning of your existence until this time, and kept it perfectly, then that makes you a breaker, a transgressor of just the first commandment. Never mind all the rest concerning adultery, theft, you know, all kinds of immorality, coveting, murder by means of abortion, euthanasia, violence, drugs in between. So you see, friends, we're all of us lawbreakers. All have come short of the glory of God. None of us have reached the intended target that God has set for humankind. You see, the nature of God is holy, and an unholy sinner and a holy God are like oil and water. They just do not mix. So somebody has got to change. And that's not going to be God, because God does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am the Lord, I change not, he says. So you see, friends, that change has got to be on your side, on your part. There's got to be a turning. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Conversion, friends, it's an absolute necessity. And of course, the nature of the gospel demands it too, because the gospel, the holy gospel of God, you see, it declares deliverance. It's deliverance from sin, not in sin. It's a deliverance, not tolerance. It's not a means by which God tolerates your wickedness, your fornicating ways, you know, your theft and adultery, and all the uncleanness that pervades your land today, all the sin sickness of your society today. The gospel is not a means by which God tolerates sin, but it's a means by which God delivers men and women from sin. But it's got to be in the way of change. It's got to be in the way of turning. It's got to be in the way of repentance. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And then you return to God, all in faith, by the grace of God. But then receive by God. Receive, welcome by God. And he will be a father to you, and you sons and daughters to him. He will covenant himself to you. Deliverance, friends. That's what the gospel is about. Forgiveness and deliverance from the iniquity, the rebellion that separates you from God. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Because your ways are not God's ways, and your thinking is not God's thinking. So there has to be a change. There has to be conversion. It's necessary, friends, for every one of us. Then, of course, there's your past history, because, well, you might say to yourself, well, I'll be good from now on. I'll keep God's commandments. But you see, you got a past. You got a past record. You were born in sin. From the moment that you were born, you began to sin, to be a sinner before God. All the rebellion against parents through childhood, into youth and into adulthood, middle age, and some of us old age, sinners from the moment we're born to the moment that we die. But you see, you got a past history. Regardless of what you do now, that past history has to be dealt with. And it can only be dealt with in the gospel of God's Son, Jesus Christ. He died for the ungodly. He gave himself. He died for our sins. For God sent his Son into the world for that you might be forgiven. Friends, this is the heart of the gospel. The forgiveness of God. There is forgiveness with God. Make no mistake about it. Thank you, madam. Thank you very much. Make no mistake about it, friends. No matter how dark and how dirty and how dangerous your sins might be, if you take nothing away from this today, take this away. There is forgiveness with God. There is a way back to God from sin's dark path. But that way, friends, is the way of conversion. It's the way of turning. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. There must needs be repentance. You can't be saved without it. Repentance and faith towards the Son of God. The two go together. They're like Siamese twins. Repentance and faith. You separate them. You got no gospel left. All you've got's death. Repentance is always towards faith. The man who believes is a man who repents, and a man who repents is a man who believes. Repentance and faith, because the kingdom of God is at hand. Your past history, it needs to be dealt with, friends. And if you continue on persisting in your evil way before God, well, the end of it will be disastrous, catastrophic. The end of it will be the damnation of hell. You need to be saved from the consequences of your sin, your past history, your present sin. and doubtless future sin also. But then, of course, confession's a necessity, is it not, you know, for, well, the needs of society. You know, if we just simply let people go on incorrigibly, you know, just doing as they please, sin has to be punished. Here's the thing, you see, about this evolution nonsense that so many of you believe in, have subscribed to, have been indoctrinated with from childhood. Why do societies the world over, wherever you go, different justice systems, different systems of punishment? Some nations, they still hang murderers, and rightly so. We don't anymore. We just cause it and counsel murderers and give them hotels to live in. But you know, every society has some way of punishing evildoers. It's a necessity in society. But here's the thing, friends, eh? If you believe in evolution, then tell me, why do societies punish evildoers? I mean, isn't that just, if you believe in evolution, isn't that just survival of the fittest? Is it just a case of the strongest overcoming the weakest? No big deal. Isn't it just Darwinianism in action? But no, you have an ethical standard. Every nation does. Every person does. You do as well. You have an ethical standard. You have a standard of morality. You have a standard of what's right and wrong. You don't get that out of evolution. You got a standard of morality. Why? You got a standard of what's right and wrong. Why? Because you got a conscience. That's why. A God-given conscience. Do you know what the word conscience means? It means with knowledge. With a knowledge of what's right and wrong. You see, you were made that way. You were made in the image of God, the judge of all the earth, and the God who one day will judge you by His standards, not yours. His standard of morality, not yours. So there must needs be, for the good of society, never mind anything else, there must needs be conversion, turning from evil, from wickedness, turning from your sin. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Then, of course, for, you know, the sinner's well-being, you know, it's God has your best interest at heart, you know, in His gospel. The gospel, you know, would do you the world the good, you know, a number of people that, how their lives improve, you know, when they embrace the gospel. You know, they find that they got money in their pockets, you know, because, you know, they look after their finances sensibly, wisely, not like they did before. Many people, they find their health improving because their lifestyle changes, you know. Some of you, you know, are suffering from the recompense of sin already. Your body's wrecked, you know. Your body's wrecked because of the drinking, the drugs, whatever. You know, your pattern of life. You know, when the Bible says, you know, let the wicked forsake his way. A man's way in the Bible is the pattern by which he lives, you know. And when you embrace the gospel, when you truly, sincerely turn to God in the way of conversion, repentance, and faith towards the Son of God, many people, you see, their lives, their health changes for the better. Because, you see, they stop doing the stupid things that wrecks the lives of people. Some of you, you know, your health's broken because of the way you've lived in the past. Some of you, even your minds are broken. You know? But friends, hey, the worst is yet to come. Because the day's coming when you stand before God and give account. Day's coming, friends, when payback comes, you know, for real, for serious. The judgment day. The day of accountability. The day when God deals with you fully and finally because of your sin, unless you repent and believe the gospel. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, says God. It's imperative, it's a necessity. Conversion, repentance unto God. But then, of course, it's the purpose of Jesus in coming, you know. If you say, well, I don't need to repent, you know. Jesus died for sinners, so that's okay. No need for me to do nothing. No need for me to repent, you know. Well, you simply nullify, you know, the very thing that Jesus came for. You know, we said of him, you know, prior to his birth, you shall call his name Jesus. Why? Because Jesus means Savior. And it goes on to say, because he shall save his people from their sins. He came to save us from our sins, not in our sins. So if you nullify the very purpose for which Jesus came for, well, you're left without any salvation, friends. That's what Jesus came for. He didn't come to make men and women religious. Religion don't save you. Religion don't reconcile you to God. You can be religious and you can work at it intensely, powerfully. You can work at it every day of your life, but religion will bring no salvation to you. I tell you, friends, there's not an ounce of salvation in any one of your world religions. Outside of the gospel of Jesus Christ, there is no salvation. Not an ounce of it. Only in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And his purpose in coming wasn't to make you religious, but to save you from your sins, not in them. That you might repent, that you might, by the grace of God, that you might repent and believe the gospel and be saved. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to God his Maker in the way of repentance and faith through the Son of God who loved sinners and gave himself for them. But friends, if you've any designs of heaven, any designs of ever getting to heaven, you know, I read some of your obituaries sometimes, you know, and I read this drivel that they publish in newspapers, you know, somebody that you worship, you know, some celebrity or something dies, you know, and you're all writing these letters, R.I.P., you know, R.I.P., rest in peace. How can anyone rest in peace if they've not been reconciled to God? It's impossible. Maybe you write it sometimes in terms of your loved ones who have passed away. Well, that's a nice thought. But friends, let me ask the question, that person of who you subscribe these letters, R.I.P. to, did they live godly lives? Did they repent of their sins? Did they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Were they saved? Did they live in the way of godliness and holiness? Because I tell you, without that, there is no resting in peace. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. None at all. In order for a person to get to heaven, friends, there has to be repentance. There has to be a change. There has to be conversion. Lest you're converted, says Jesus. Lest you become as children and be converted. You will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Never, never, never. You gotta repent and you gotta believe the gospel and you gotta do it now, friends. Heaven demands it. Access to heaven? No, friends, not without repentance, not without faith in the Son of God. You gotta be saved. Salvation, friends. But then the nature of this conversion of which the Bible speaks, well, it's a turning from, you know, the natural way of man. Natural way of man's wickedness, sin. You know, you come into the world, you're born, you're conceived in sin, says God. And so you're born with this natural bias away from God and a natural bias towards sin. It comes naturally to each and every single one of us. You got an inclination towards wickedness. That's why you don't have to teach your children to rebel. You don't have to teach your children to lie. You don't have to teach your children to thieve. They do it quite naturally without you teaching them. And you it came to you exactly the same way. Because you see, sinful parents get sinful children, and so it goes on right down the line and will do till the end. So you see, friends, there must needs be a turning from. Let the wicked forsake his way, his pattern of living, his way of wickedness, his inclination towards wickedness, towards sin. That has to be reversed. That has to be turned round. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. But you see, it begins in the thoughts. It begins in the mind. The heart must be changed. It's deeper than the actions. Your nature needs to be changed. You need to be born again, you see. Jesus says you must be born again. Unless a man's born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. Friends, you can't understand the kingdom of God. You can't enter the kingdom of God. You have no desire even to repent. You have no desire to turn. No desire for God. No love for God. No desire for the word of God. Until a man or woman's been born again, you see it. And that inclination, you see, that bias towards wickedness is changed by the grace of God, of course, not by anything you do. You haven't got the power, the strength. That's why Jesus had to come and live and love and die and rise again from the dead, that power might be yours. But that power is found in the Holy Gospel of God, power of God unto salvation. For everyone who believes, you see, on the Lord Jesus Christ, that is. Conversion, you see, it's a change. It's a turning of the habitual way. You know, you're accustomed to doing that which you ought not to do. It's with us all. It's with us all from childhood. All do what they ought not to do. But here's the thing, friends. How can you who are accustomed, you know, habitually to doing evil, says God, how can you do good? That's impossible for a natural born sinner until the nature's changed, until God gives you a good nature, until He gives you a good heart, a new heart, until He changes your heart. Remains the same. Born in sin, live in sin, die in sin, go into this world in sin. Tree lies where it falls, the proverb says. No changing once you've died. No second chances, no purgatory. Only heaven, only hell. Which will it be for you, friends? There must needs be conversion. There must needs be a mega change. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord. Friends, the general way of mankind is to travel down that broad pathway of which Jesus speaks. He says, there's a broad pathway and multitudes travel down it. The multitudes, the masses of humanity. Why? Well, because it's popular. It's the sinful, it's the wicked, it's the evil way of the natural born sinner. It's so easy, you know? Follow, just like lost sheep, you know? Just follow one another. My neighbors are doing it, my peers are doing it. They fornicate, so it must be okay. You know? They do the unclean, it must be okay. They do the coveting and the stealing, it must be okay. Just follow the sheep, you know? Down the broad pathway. But Jesus says it ends in eternal destruction. But he says there's a narrow gate and there's a narrow pathway that leads to eternal life, and that's the way of which I tell you this afternoon, Cannock. Friends, conversion, turning out of the habitual way, turning out of the general way of mankind and turning to God's way. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And begin to align your thoughts with God's thoughts. then, friends, when the heart, when the mind has been changed by the grace of God, well, then you'll see the actions change. Then you'll see the thoughts change. Then you'll see the words change. There has to be change. There has to be transformation. There has to be a turning of the mind. That's what the word repentance means. A change of mind that leads to a change of actions. A change of speaking. Friends, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. It must be forsaken, the way of sin. It must be done with, or friends, you will be totally undone by sin. Sin will take you away one day. Oh, it's well with you today. Huh? You're healthy, you're strong, you think I've got many days left to me. You don't know that. You don't know what one day will bring forth. Friends, this could be somebody under sound of my voice here this afternoon. Could be your last day on planet Earth. You do not know. Friends, how long have you got? You do not know. But I tell you this, friends, one day sin will take you away. And it will take you somewhere, believe me, you do not want to go. It will take you into the presence of a sin-hating and holy God who will dispatch you according to what you have done with His Son, Jesus Christ. Or what you have not done with His Son, Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. But this is the condemnation, says God, that you have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Without faith, you see, without repentance, without conversion, without turning. Friends, you're faced with an eternity of lostness, separated from the presence of God for all eternity. The loving, kindness, mercy, goodness, and benefits of God for all eternity. And you're left with nothing but a hellish hovel instead of a heavenly mansion. I hear some young people, they say to me now and again, you know, rather foolishly, well, if I go to hell, I'll be with my friends and we can all party together. Friends, you need to read the Bible and what it says about hell and get rid of that notion from your mind, because that's not hell. You will be more lonely and more miserable and more tormented than ever you have been and ever imagined yourself to be. And that for all eternity, when you've been there for a million years, you'll still have eternity to go. It's a long, long, long time, friends. Repent and believe the gospel. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Change of thought, friends. Change of thinking about God, about His Son, about God's law that you've broken, about the Bible in its entirety, about sin, your personal involvement in it, and yourself, your relationship with God. Because here's the thing, friends. Here's the thing. You are related to God one way or the other, in wrath, in holy displeasure, or in forgiveness and loving kindness. The wrath of God is being revealed, already being revealed, against all the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth of the knowledge of God in unrighteousness, God says. The wrath of God, you see, already hangs over you like a dark cloud that follows you about day after day. And the only one who can dispel that cloud of judgment, of wrath that hangs over you, is the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, shed for sinners such as you and I, that you might repent and believe the gospel. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return, return to God, the Bible says. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Ah, cease from your pride, friends. That pride that keeps you from the acknowledgement of your sin. That pride that keeps you from humbling yourself under the hand of Almighty God, that you may be exalted in due season. Cease from that pride of yours that keeps you, you know, from God, and acknowledging what manner of sinner it is that you are. Cease from your neglect of the gospel. How shall we escape if we neglect this great salvation, says God? And the answer is not given. It doesn't need to be given. The answer is logical. You will not escape if you neglect the gospel, the good news, the holy gospel of God, that demands conversion, that demands repentance, that demands that you forsake your way, your pattern of living, and that you alter, that you change your thoughts and align them with God's thoughts. Cease from your opposition to the gospel. The sinful mind is hostile to God, the Bible says. Oh friends, that hostility, that enmity against God, which is part of your nature, that too must go. The weapons of your warfare must be laid down at the cross of His Son, Jesus Christ. You give up, you surrender. It's not proof, it's not evidence of the existence of God that you need, friends. It's surrender. It's a white flag. You know that God is. Just as I do, you know that God is. But you suppress that truth in unrighteousness. Friends, you need to surrender. You need to raise the white flag in submission to God in the way of repentance and faith. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. It's the gospel, friends. It's not some newfangled message, not some new religion. You don't need new religion. You don't need the heathen religion that's invaded your land. No, friends, you don't need religion at all. It's the Son of God that you need. It's Jesus Christ that you need. It's the one who loved sinners and gave himself for them. What is it? I don't want to know what it is first. I don't want it. Let the wicked forsake his way and let him return to the Lord. How? By means of the cross, through the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who died for sinners, who shed his blood, that this conversion, this repentance might be possible for you. Friends, the love of Jesus Christ for sinners. But friends, conversion is an absolute necessity. That's what the gospel is about. It's a turning from sin, turning to God through His Son, Jesus Christ, and embracing the sure promise of salvation. The sure promise of mercy. Listen again to what the Word of God says. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Pardon is promised. The sure mercy of God is promised, comes to you from the God who does not and who cannot lie. The truth of the gospel that liberates, that sets men and women free, liberates them from the law of sin and death. Friends, forgiveness, there is forgiveness with God. It's the heart of the gospel, it's the heart of God. I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, he says, but rather that they should turn, 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 turn. Why will you die, says the Lord, when eternal life could be yours? In the way of repentance, in the way of faith towards the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. But friends, it takes divine power. It takes the grace of God. It's not something you can do on your own. Repent, as the Bible tells us, is a gift of God. Faith is a gift of God. You can't work it up yourself. You can't do it yourself. You can no more believe in the Lord Jesus Christ than you can pull yourself up by your bootlaces. Impossible with you. It's not with you. You haven't got the power. It takes divine power. Religion don't do this for you. Religion don't put the life of God into your soul. Don't put the love of God into your heart. Religion don't give you the gifts of repentance and faith, which are an absolute necessity in order to be saved. It takes divine power. That's found only in the gospel. The gospel is still God's power for salvation. The dynamite of God, friends, to blow you out of your natural state and sin.
If you're a Christian and everything else, you shouldn't be shoving shit down everybody's throat, mate.
You shouldn't be talking like that.
Oh, you shouldn't.
That's crude. That's crude.
You shouldn't be talking that down people's throat.
Yes, I should. Yes, I should.
Why should you?
God commands it. Walk on then.
So that's your thing. So you're saying now walk on, so that's your Christian thing, ain't it? But you're not as Christian, are you? Walk on then.
Yeah. I'm a sinner just like you.
No.
Go and wash your mouth out with soap. Go and wash your mouth out with soap and water.
Shit. You just said to me, walk on.
Yeah.
Not try and change.
If you don't want to hear, walk on.
Well, no one wants to hear it. You can't stand there shouting.
So like you're saying, friends, divine power, that's what it takes to take that out of the heart of a man. Takes divine power. More power than you've got, more power than I've got. But this is the gospel, friends. This is the gospel, the power, the dynamite of God, you know? I know dynamite, it can be destructive sometimes, but sometimes it's used for good, you know? Sometimes, you know, it's used to put fires out, you know? Hey, friends, this is the power of God, you know? This is something that God does. You can't do yourself. But friends, you can call on the name of the Lord. That's where we began. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. While you still get the breath of life in you. Call, cry out to him. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You see, I've never prayed in my life. I wouldn't know how to. Well, here's how to. Here's a place to begin. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And cry to him, and give him no rest until he comes to you, until you know that you've been forgiven, until you know that you've got eternal life in your soul. But friends, it's conversion, it's faith. It's not morality, it's not religion, it's faith, it's faith, it's faith. The power of God unto salvation to everyone who's morally upright. No, that's not what the Bible says. To everyone who's religious, no, that's not what the Bible says. To everyone who believes, faith. Faith, friends, is the justifying factor. By faith a man is justified before God. The justified shall live by faith, says God. Faith, 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 and faith alone in the Son of God, in Jesus Christ alone, brings salvation, brings eternal life to the soul, and brings full atonement, pardon. And he will abundantly pardon, clear the books, everything that was ever writ against you, nailed to the cross of his Son and washed away in the blood of his Son. That's the promise. That's the offer of God. That's the offer of the gospel presented to you here this afternoon. A total change from the inside out. Religion will change you on the outside. The way you dress, people you mix with, and where you go. But friends, it's the heart that's the problem, and it's the heart that needs to be changed. And only the gospel, my gospel, can do that for you. And so I call upon you today, in the words of the Lord Jesus himself, repent and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Otherwise, total, terrible ruin faces you at the end of your course in this life, in this world. There is something to be saved from. Believe me, the damnation of hell. So repent, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord. He will abundantly pardon. Forgiveness with God. Friends, I offer you again a copy of God's Word. Check it out for yourself. See the things that I speak of, that they are so in accordance with the Word of God. It's offered to you freely. No cost, no obligation to you. Yours, take and do it as you will. If you'd like one, you come and ask for one. But I leave you with the Word of God. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. I leave you with the command of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Repent and believe the gospel, Canuck. Repent and believe the gospel.